gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. This hour brought to you by Carbonite Online Backup, a must for your computer. Mama has it on hers. Carbonite automatically backs up the files on your PC or Mac whenever you're connected to the internet. Go to carbonite.com, enter Stephanie. Well, that sounds dirty. Enter my special 15-day free trial plus 2 months free with any subscription. That's carbonite.com. Offer code Stephanie. Do it. Get it. We have a big show. It's a Tuesday show.
Yes.
Mama's feeling much better. Thank you.
Yes, we are live today.
Live.
Line. Huh?
Oh, 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us. All their executive producer, Chris LaVoy, voice deity, Jim Ward, associate producer, Rebecca Taylor, or me, Stephanie Miller. Chris LaVoy, you can see today.
Yes.
For some reason.
Hi.
He's on the Ustream.
That's right.
Why can't you see me?
Because
the... Let me see the big sign where the name of the show...
Stephanie Miller.
Oh, there it is.
Would you like me to point the camera at you?
No. No one wants to see me.
Yes, the software that we need to have more than one camera has not arrived yet.
Oh.
From Stephanie Miller International. So, yes.
When will we be able to see Jim do the creepy William F. Buckley eyes, do you think?
I don't know.
All right. So we have a big show. It's Tuesdays with Tyler.
Yes.
The wildly popular new feature. Aisha Tyler joins us in hour number three on the big show. Rude Pundit joins us today. I know it's all cattywampus. Because Mama was sick yesterday. And Jen Charlie Pierce, our regular Tuesday pal, all on the big show today. All right. Everybody's talking about it. We have to suit the fine American of the Stephanie Miller Show today. Love this guy.
Yes.
Hello, future husband list. Because I have already turned him gay. I'm sure he listens. Steven Slater, flight at the JetBlue flight attendant?
Yes.
Have you heard the story yet?
Yes, I have.
Love him. I mean,
awesome.
First of all, in this economy, you have to admire anyone that quits their job. I mean, that is... Come on. But quits in such spectacular fashion. You think about this every day, don't you?
I'm thinking about how to top this.
Well, now that we're on Ustream, you have to have some dramatic grand exit. Slam. And then we sit here for hours because nobody knows else how to push the buttons. Because you're the only one that knows how to fly the plane. See? Mm-hmm. All right. Where is this from? Oh, Medialite. I love that line.
Mediaite.
Ballsy flight attendant uses emergency chute to quit his job on the tarmac.
Yes.
Everyone imagines quitting their job from time to time. Particularly you.
Well,
and
yes.
Rebecca.
Yeah.
However, in all of our wildest dreams of escaping the daily grind, I'm sure most people will never imagine doing so in a fantastical way as Steven Slater, a JetBlue flight attendant who used his plane's emergency chute to get away from annoying passengers at JFK Airport. Sure, he may be facing some legal problems for his actions, but he's sure to be the hero of clock bunchers everywhere for years to come. From the Wall Street Journal.
Yes.
JetBlue flight 1052 from Pittsburgh had taxied to a stop at Terminal 5, Gate C, around noon Monday when flight attendant Steven Slater, 38, was struck in the head with luggage that a passenger was trying to unload from an overhead compartment, according to an airport official. Slater demanded an apology from the passenger, but the passenger refused. The two argued before the passenger told Slater to off. The official said Slater then got on the plane's PA system and directed the same obscenity at all the passengers and added he especially meant it for the man who refused to apologize. I thought you used different language, which included mother. He said to the mother, who just called me a mother.
Yes. According to other reports. Yes.
Oh, I love this story. If you have any, hidden angst you'd like to get out in your life for any reason, and who doesn't? Got to love this story. Okay, where am I? Slater is alleged to have then activated the plane's inflatable emergency slide. Here's our favorite part. Grabbed two beers from the galley and slid down the chute.
No,
and I'm taking the beers!
He threw his carry-on luggage first, grabbed the two beers, then slid down.
Mediaite writes, holy crap! All Slater needed to do was wave the American flag over his head and shotgun one of those beers on the way down the chute, and he'd probably be the greatest human being who ever lived. The Wall Street Journal goes on to detail how Slater ran through the terminal, hopped into his car, and drove home to Queens, where he was soon picked up by police. He was having sex with his boyfriend.
Yep.
That's our other favorite part. That came in this morning.
Yes, it did.
This just in.
From the New York Daily News.
Yes.
But
that he was having sex with his boyfriend at the time the police arrived.
There is a little bit of a sad note to the story,
though. Why'd you have to harsh
Well, he's been under a lot of stress. His father just died of Lou Gehrig's disease, and he was getting ready to fly to California to take care of final things for his mother, who's getting ready to pass as well. So he's going through a lot of stress.
Oy vey. Yeah. Yeah, by the way, I know, because I always remember the flight when I moved back from New York to L.A. The flight that was delayed 5 hours. It was the middle of the night, and some passengers were being asshats to the flight attendant, and we had to turn around. It took us, like, I don't even know how long to get a clearance for takeoff.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of those, like, whatever. We finally get clearance, and we're taxiing. And then I'm like,
ladies and gentlemen, we're turning around, going back to the gate.
Everyone's like, what? Oh, you sticks. But it was the same thing. Like, people just think they can treat flight attendants like crap.
You can't.
Yes. But anyway, just whatever, just arguing. And but, you know, but then they said something threatening, and it was like, oh, okay. Yeah, I love this, the other part of Mediaite. He's been a flight attendant since 1990, which is a long time to spend every day telling obnoxious travelers that no matter how hard they push, that suitcase is not going to fit in the overhead compartment.
Yeah.
I've been near those people. When you're the seat underneath, and it's like, it's not going to fit in there. Okay. I love you, Steven Slater. Love you, love you, love you. Love, 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 love.
Trying to figure out how to get an inflatable slide out this four-story window.
That would be spectacular because we have this gorgeous view in Burbank of NBC.
Yes.
We could get a shot of NBC in the back, and we can get the NBC cameras here to document your slide up.
That's right. Channel 4 is right here.
Exactly. I will alert the media. He's like, I've been hit by my last stapler in the head from that bitch, and I am out of here. All right. Yeah, I don't. You've been a little cranky ever since I instituted the Meg Whitman shoving policy here at the big show.
Yeah, but at least I'm not an Asian underling.
I just shove you into one.
That's right.
All right. You can email. I have a Facebook page.
You do.
I'm fancy.
You can get to it by going to stephaniemiller.com.
Thank you. In the meantime, Chuck in Austin has written that a lot of people catch up. You also can purchase the podcast for only $4.95 a month if you buy a year in advance.
Yes, makes a great gift.
What a deal. However, those people are a little bit on delay. I'll get things like, I understand from your podcast that Barack Obama has won the election. And then they have a comment that they like to make. And sometimes it's a little...
And then they say, why aren't your time checks ever on time?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, at any rate, every summer, for some reason, in slow news cycles, we fall into the 70s music hole, and then we can't get out.
Yeah, kind of.
And we had gotten out of it, and now Chuck in Austin has us back in it. Staff, I listen on the podcast, blah, 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 Merry Christmas, whatever. On the topic of 70s wuss rock, because we play some from time to time, that's how we got into that. Guys, very whiny in the 70s was all I was saying.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
On the topic of 70s rock, the song that always bothered me is Dan Fogelberg's Same Old Lang Syne.
Same Old Lang Syne.
Yes. In the song, Fogelberg runs into an old girlfriend at the grocery store on Christmas Eve. They go get some beer, and the woman starts complaining about her husband like it's his fault she's in a loveless marriage. It's Christmas Eve, and she's getting it lit with an old flame while her boring architect husband is at home trying to put together a big wheel in an easy bake oven. On the other hand, Fogelberg sounds like a lonely artist with nothing better to do on Christmas Eve than go to the grocery store. He sees the woman and a chance to get lucky. If he can just get a little booze in her, then he can have a brief moment of joy in his otherwise pathetic and lonely life. Oh, sorry if that one hits too close to home. Oh, no worries, Chuck. No worries.
This actually came out in 81, so this isn't 74.
It is. The premise is a little. It's one of the story songs. You're like, you're banging someone Christmas Eve? Grocery store in a parking lot? That's gross.
After he plied her with wine.
Exactly. How would you like some cheap supermarket beer? Here.
But it's not like it was a stranger. It was his old lover. The snow is falling, Christmas Eve.
I wouldn't do that if I were. We've all done the XX once.
Yeah.
Computer says no.
Actually, no. We all haven't.
Never ends well. All right. Sue in Rockville, Maryland on the Today's Hero, Stephen Slater. Hello, Sue.
Hey, good morning. You know, it's really ironic is that he looks so much like the character actor Stephen Stucker from Airplane, the one who played Johnny, you know, who had
his
line.
It's a bird?
I can make a hat or a brooch or a pterodactyl.
Yeah.
Look at, unfortunately, he's no longer with us, but compare his face to Slater's face. And having just gotten off an airplane yesterday, I just want to say congratulations.
Way to go, Stephen. All right. Thank you, Sue. Stephen, another.
Let's give a boy a hand.
Oh, you know what? By the way, since we're talking about beer, because why not? I love this. there's always the stories to make.
Oh, what is the malted liquor? What gets you drunk or quicker?
Yay.
What comes in bottles or in cans?
Beer. Yes!
Can't get enough of it.
Beer.
How we really love it.
Beer.
Makes me think I'm a man.
Yeah.
Beer. I could kiss and hug it.
Beer.
I'd rather chug it.
Beer.
Got the belly out to here.
Beer.
I could not refuse it.
Beer.
I could really use a beer.
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 Yes, tongue it. Swapping a daily glass of wine for beer could help you save as many calories as you would by taking a 30-minute jog, according to a... some consumer group that I'm guessing is backed by the beer industry.
Beer company, yeah. Like Anheuser-Busch.
The group claimed Tuesday that beer's reputation for being fattening unfounded. For years, beer has been blighted by a reputation for being more fattening than other alcoholic drinks, when in reality, the exact opposite is true. That is not a beer gut, is what they're saying. That is not. It's beer better than exercise for losing weight.
Huh. Okay.
I love those studies. This study, fried chicken is the best thing for staying thin, brought to you by Colonel Sanders.
Yeah.
All right. So a lot of big news to get to. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
A mecca of misdemeanors.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Oh, yeah, baby, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. 22 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere to join the party. I forgot to mention Mama doing Larry King Live tonight.
Yes.
With guest host Tavis Smiley.
He's awesome.
Yes. Indeed. So I forgot to say that. The top. Well, we tweet it.
You just put it up on your Facebook page.
Of course I did. I don't do it. I don't. I have people for that.
Yes.
Meaning you.
Me.
You.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. All right, Rude Pundit coming up in just a couple of minutes. The president talking about the economy yesterday.
I noticed some Republicans say, well, he just wants to bash the previous administration. He's looking backwards. He's trying to take the focus off tough economic situation that a lot of people are feeling. No. The reason we're focused on it is because the other side isn't offering anything new.
Yeah, by the by,
yes.
Jim DeMint, did you see this?
What?
This is not Bush's recession, apparently.
Whose recession is it? It started.
Yeah, where is this? Blah, blah, blah. Oh, the speech you gave the other day. Let's see, this is no longer something we can blame on President Bush. This is not Bush's recession. This is the result of Democrat economic policies.
First of all, Jim DeMint is kind of stupid for not getting the name of our party correct.
Mm-hmm. Democratic.
Exactly.
That's they the always name of make the party. That mistake.
Yes.
They're... totally by accident.
Uh-huh.
Even the staunchly conservative Wall Street Journal editorial board, by the way, understood it was Bush's recession, writing in early 2009, that Bush's comment that Wall Street got drunk and we got a hangover, remember that? Reveals, quote, how little the president comprehends about the source of the administration's economic undoing. To extend his metaphor, who does Mr. Bush think was serving the liquor? Mm-hmm. Thank you, Wall Street Journal, for pointing out.
The notoriously right-wing Wall Street Journal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The president yesterday.
There's been a fundamental lack of seriousness on the other side. We have spent the last 20 months governing. They spent the last 20 months politicking. Now, we've got 3 months to go, and so we've decided, well, we can politic for 3 months. They've forgotten I know how to politic pretty good. And so I'm happy to make this argument. I am happy to have this debate over the next several months about what their vision of the future is. Because they don't have one.
Mm-hmm. Well, George Bush's policies.
Mm-hmm.
They have their future is the past. The president one more time.
Education is an economic issue. Education is the economic issue of our time.
And the boner, by the way, did you see him on Meet the Press looking at... you would think for someone that gets mocked for being orange so much that he would not keep getting oranger.
Yeah, he needs to tone it down. Even, Joe Scarborough
yes.
and Mika Brzezinski made a comment on it, and they said, you know what, It's gotten distracting. I'm not listening to what he's saying. I'm just looking at his color.
That's what I was like. I'm going,
yeah.
I'm like, is there something wrong with my TV? Is he really that much darker than David Gregory? I'm like, is David Gregory a little pasty? Or is, I was like, that is just weird.
He is
so tan. It's like...
Well, that's not a natural tan.
No.
He must get spray tanned or something. Or use that QT stuff that was out
right.
in the 70s.
I use that.
Did you really?
Yes, I did. In fact, the day of the prom, when I got the home perm from my mom that made me look like Link on Mod Squad, I was also orange because you thought, oh, what will look good in this powder blue halter belt dress? I know, being orange and having an afro.
Do you have any color photos of that?
I don't think so.
Oh, I'm going to call your mom. I need to find out. Your brother must have some.
All right. Here's the boner.
You cannot get the economy going again by raising taxes on those people who we expect to create jobs in America and to get the economy going again. If we want to solve the budget problem, we've got to have a healthy economy, and we have to get our arms around the runaway spending that's going on in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, that was hilarious, though. I mean, David Gregory just kept trying to nail him down on this. It is so disingenuous. It's like, do the Bush tax, do they pay for themselves? It's like, if you want to play the Washington game, I don't care.
It was a question. It wasn't a game.
Yeah, exactly. It's just, you know, you have to at least be honest about the fact that, you know, if you're screaming about the deficit every single day, why you can't do this and you can't do that and you can't help cops and you can't help teachers and you can't do this, at least be honest.
Yep.
That argument, it makes no sense. Why, if there's no jobs now, is his point, how are they going to start hiring? Well, why are they going to start hiring if they have the same tax break? They have the tax break now and they're not hiring. All right. You know who's not helping?
Who?
Is the conservadems of the world.
Oh, Blue Dogs?
Nelson and Lincoln vote to permanently extend Bush tax cuts, massively increase the deficit. Last, what is the point of Ben Nelson exactly? He voted against Kagan.
He's the only Dem that voted against Kagan.
Last month, as the Senate was gridlocked by a Republican filibuster of a bill to extend much-needed unemployment benefits to millions of out-of-work Americans, Senator Ben Nelson, Democrat of Nebraska, stood with the Republicans against the extension. Nelson claimed his concerns about the deficit overrode his support for the extension. He voted against that bill that finally passed. Later that week, Nelson came out in support of extension for now of the Bush tax cuts for the wealthiest Americans, which adds billions more to the deficit than the unemployment insurance extension. In fact, extending the Bush tax cuts for 1 year alone would add $115 billion to the deficit compared to the relatively tiny budgetary cost of $33 billion for the extension of unemployment benefits.
Right.
So then Ben Nelson provided further evidence. He's a deficit peacock, someone who claims to be concerned about the deficit but isn't actually interested in taking serious steps toward a balanced budget. Before the final vote on the state's aid bill, Jim DeMint offered two amendments that would in effect permanently extend the tax cuts. And so he was all for that, apparently. That's the thing. You can have different opinions about things. You can't argue about math.
Right.
That's why this argument is just so ridiculous. All right.
Are you okay?
Yes.
Are you in a state?
I'm in a bit of a state. 29 minutes after the hour. You know what I need?
What?
I need some rudeness. One of my favorite posts ever from Rude Public, pundit, why Glenn Beck must be punched repeatedly. We will ask him why.
Rooster punched?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Right back with Rude Pundit next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Say to the world, hey, this is
Stephanie Miller.
I am woman, and I like me.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. Why Tuesday? But we can still be rude on Tuesday, can't we? 1-800-STEP-1-2-B-PUNDIT.
Leap up at the rude pundit. Pundit.
Good morning, Papa.
Good morning, Stephanie.
You know, we so much to get to in your postings, but let's start with why Glenn Beck needs to be punched repeatedly.
Is there ever a time he doesn't need it?
I love you. You write, on Wednesday night's fine television program, Watch Glenn Beck Eat His Own Feces. Was that the title of it? I missed that one.
Oh, yeah. That's the subtitle.
The host opined about funds being used for things like libraries and parks while cops are being cut from city budget. He got especially upset about a $750,000 being spent on an opera house. He said, how about we get the rich who never pay their fair share to buy their stupid, snotty opera house? And it's amazing how the suddenly it's that's not socialism.
No. That's not that all of a sudden the that it's not class warfare, like, you know, telling the rich to that they need to pay for things, that the money needs to come from the wealthy. Why don't we raise the taxes on the rich?
Right.
Yes.
Now he's all for the rich paying their fair share, apparently.
Yeah, the great thing again in that video is just watching him literally scream the words Mountain Dew and Cheetos, because that's what he describes the money spent for libraries and parks and other things, that we're giving up cops just like families who buy Mountain Dew and Cheetos, which, to be honest, is a lot cheaper than organic vegetables.
All right. Here's our other favorite thing, the five gayest things that Tony Perkins and the Family Research Council have said about the Prop 8 decision.
Yeah.
All right. Let's review. These are the Tony Perkins fun facts. He's the, head of the, what's it called? Family Research Council.
Yes.
Yes.
He said everyone in America, including homosexuals, is free to tie the knot. Our laws simply require them to marry someone of the opposite sex. So the gays are free to marry someone as long as it's someone of the opposite sex, is what he's saying.
You're free to marry your beard.
Talking to you, Liza. All right, let's see. This lawsuit, should it be upheld on appeal and in the Supreme Court, would become the Roe v. Wade of same-sex marriage.
And I look forward to them putting out fields of crosses at churches that perform gay marriages.
Number three, I think what you have is one judge who thinks he knows and a district-level judge and an openly homosexual judge at that, who says he knows better than not only 7 million voters in the state of California, but voters in 30 states across the nation that have passed marriage amendments.
Yeah, I love the whole Walker's gay, therefore Walker was biased.
He should recuse himself, exactly.
Exactly, because, you know, straight people would have no non-objective opinion about this. Straight, because, you know, their minds aren't all made out of Swiss cheese because of the gay thoughts that got in there.
Number four, President Obama, quote, has been doing everything to overturn the Defense of Marriage Act to promote key aspects of the agenda of the homosexual community.
What is the agenda of the homosexual community?
You would have think I would have gotten a copy, but I've not received it.
I know. I just always thought it was like nice drapes. You know, what's the agenda?
You know, the only people who think the president does not have the agenda of the homosexual community would be the homosexual community.
Look at how annoyed the president. Yeah, look how much he's worked. Well, be careful. Robert Gibbs will get mad at you.
Oh, yeah.
And number five, in response to Judge Walker's statement that marriage requires two parties to give their free consent, why only two? Dozens of countries around the world practice polygamy, where a man can have more than one wife. Islam, for example, permits a man to have four wives, and that's the law in Muslim nations.
Which is really a twofer of an insult, isn't it? It's like, compare it to polygamy and those dirty, dirty Muslims. And again, Muslims love the gays, don't they? So...
Your original posting I loved on the path to more equality, the Prop 8 ruling, reams the religious right. Because you said, I mean, you really have to read the whole thing. It's a beautiful piece.
He was obviously writing it for the general public. He wasn't writing it just for lawyers, just for judges. It was a kick in the teeth to the entire anti-gay marriage movement. It really is beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, you actually quote, you say things like on page 24 when Walker was talking about the will of the voters versus what experts have to say on the subject. When challenged, however, he writes, the voters' determinations must find at least some support in evidence. This is especially so when the determinations enacted into law, classifications of persons, conjecture, speculation, and fears are not enough. Still less will the moral deprivation of a group or class of citizens suffice, no matter how large the majority that shares that view. You can't pass laws that are based on your ignorance. That's called mob rule, as you point out. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, if you were to just simply say that the majority of voters in any district or any state could pass whatever laws they want and the Constitution and rights be damned, it would be crazy time. Actually, you know what's funny? What I love about that part of the decision is it's actually based on a Supreme Court decision from, I think, 1946. 43 or 46.
Yeah.
That was from West Virginia, when the state of West Virginia passed laws against Jehovah's Witnesses. And it said that the state can, that they wouldn't salute the flag, and I don't think Jehovah's Witnesses can do anything that involves crossing their arms. I don't know. And
something.
Yeah, whatever. I'll just make stuff up. Yeah. And they, and so there was a Supreme Court case about a law that was trying to compel Jehovah's Witnesses to do this, and the Supreme Court then said, no, sorry, that's really what freedom kind of is that you can't tell people that as long as it doesn't harm anybody, that to behave a certain way.
Right. Well, I mean, what was I going to say? I think I've been saying all along, like, I've always been nervous about the Supreme Court, and I think a lot of people in the gay community have been nervous about it, you know, with the current makeup of the court. But I'm kind of encouraged, aren't you? I mean, the legal experts that we've talked to, I mean, they're saying because of what you're talking about, they're talking about even Scalia on the, the sodomy.
Right.
The law, but I mean, just in a legal sense, they're saying in terms of what Kennedy's going to rule and all that. I mean, they're saying it actually seems positive.
Oh, well, Kennedy's written a couple of the major decisions involving gay rights, and you know, this the Walker's decision is like just this giant hello Kennedy kind of thing. I think it was written to even as a way. I was written as a warning.
It was a love letter in a really gay way.
Yes. But you know, he's openly.
It's in code. If you hold it up to a mirror, the ruling says, "I love you, Kennedy."
I love you, Anthony. Anthony,
you complete me. You complete me, Anthony Kennedy.
Your glasses and bald head haunt me in my dreams.
I can't quit you, Kennedy.
But the other thing is to me, I read it as a warning to all of the anti-gay marriage forces. Like, really, you guys really want to spend all this time on this when you know you're going to lose? And of course they will, because what other purpose do most of these organizations have?
Yeah. I love the won't somebody please think of the children argument that's kind of wilted on the vine.
Oh, won't somebody please think of the children?
Oh yeah, and didn't David Boies just pimp slap Tony Perkins all over the place with that argument?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, it just cracks me up because every day there's a story. I was looking at this one out of a straight couple. New Jersey couple loses custody of their son named Adolf Hitler. They named all of their children after,
That's
the
neat.
New Jersey parents who gave their children Nazi-inspired names, including Adolf Hitler. Lost custody. It takes a lot to lose custody of your kids, but after the court ruled a history of domestic violence puts the children at risk. But, you know.
Really,
as long as they're not with the gays.
Really, Hitler was violent? I can't believe that. I can't believe that there was violence involved with somebody named Adolf Hitler.
Wait, Adolf Hitler Campbell, 4, and his two younger sisters, Joyce Lynn Aryan Nation Campbell, 3.
Joyce what?
Joyce Lynn Aryan Nation Campbell, 3
That's
years old.
That's not even a name.
And Hanslyn Hindler Jeannie Campbell, 2, will remain in the care of the Division of Youth and Family Services in New Jersey.
You know, there would have been such a Darwinian effect on them in school that I really wish that they had just gone through and kept those names. Come over here, Himmler. Come.
It's okay to name your kids Himmler and Hitler, as long as you're not gay. As long as you're really straight and, when you do it.
Wouldn't it be great? Then the Jewish kids have somebody to finally beat up. It's great.
Let's see. I love this one out of Florida. Fresh off his George Record scandal, Florida Attorney General and gubernatorial candidate Bill McCollum telling the Florida Baptist News he wants to expand Florida's discriminatory adoption laws to prohibit gay people from serving as foster parents. He said, "I don't believe in gay adoption. I don't believe in involving the government in enforcing or encouraging the lifestyle of gays and homosexuals." They asked, should homosexuals be permitted to serve as foster parents in Florida? He said, personally, I don't think so, but that's the law. Should the law be changed? I think that it would be advisable. I really don't think we should have homosexuals guiding our children. I think it's a lifestyle I don't agree with. It's not a natural thing. It's you need a mother and a father. You need a man and a woman, blah, 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 blah.
And you know what's great about it is that argument is getting so tired.
Yeah.
That as more and more people know the gay couple down the street or see the gay couple on the TV, that they're just thinking, yeah, this really isn't bothering me as much as everybody's telling me this should be bothering me. And I don't think that makes me gay, but I'm open to it.
I had, you know, I had a straight friend, and her 10-year-old son stayed with me last night.
Yes.
Came up to visit, and she swears like a trucker in front of her kid, which I like. See, I was, but I'm like, I don't mean to judge anyone's parenting, but it was good for me because I could continue to swear like a trucker and drink heavily in front of the child, who, by the way, adores me. I don't know what it is about when you don't care if kids like you, they cannot get enough of you.
Well, that's because you swear and drink like a trucker.
I swear and drink like a trucker.
Right, right. The evening could have taken a really dark turn had the kid roofied you, but you know,
yeah.
If the kid's already that open-minded about everything, it could have been like, come here, Aunt Stephanie.
He did actually snuggle me in bed. He wanted to come snuggle. And I was like,
that's inappropriate.
I was like, all right.
How old?
Mom's got to go to sleep now. Get out.
How old?
He's 10.
Oh, yeah.
We were cuddling.
That's inappropriate.
His mom had to go to the store. He wanted to cuddle.
That's highly inappropriate.
I wasn't doing anything inappropriate.
We're breastfeeding him or anything.
I was telling him hilarious drunken stories with lots of expletives in them.
Yeah, well, that's good. And cuddling the 10-year-old in your bed. That's great. I don't think there should be an investigation or anything.
No, not at all.
Perhaps I've said too much. Oh, look at the time. Rude has to go.
I'm sure he'd like to mention his play.
Well, why don't you do that, Rude?
I would love to mention my play. My new play, Heterosexuals, opens in New York City on August 17th, 6:30 performance. On my website are all the details.
Oh, you and your heterosexual agenda.
I know. And it's a dark comedy that's about, well, sex. It's all about sex. It's very dirty. Do not bring 10-year-olds, no matter how dirty you talk.
This one I can bring.
You know what? I think that, well, I guess you'd learn a few new words to use with you in bed.
I'm grooming the future husbands early these days.
And then Child Protective Services would like to have a few words with you.
That's great. And then I'm an accessory. Gee, thanks, Stephanie.
All right.
Also, let me just throw in there. So it's got 5 performances. Check it out. A good buddy of mine is in the show, Jeff Chrysler, who's got a show called Get Rich Cheating. That's also at the Fringe.
Okay, fabulous.
I believe I've done all my plugging duties.
I believe you have. You mean that in a completely heterosexual agenda kind of way.
Absolutely.
All right. I will see you next week when you plug me again. Thank you so much. Your rudeness.
Bye.
There he goes. RudePundit.blogspot.com. Check it out. Hilarious. 47 minutes after the hour. Right Wing World next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Side effects may include loss of clothing, rug burn, shortness of breath, and sore abdominals the next morning. What in the world is up?
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Groove! It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 51 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number toll free from anywhere. This portion of the show brought to you by GoToMeeting. GoToMeeting, the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com right now. Click on the Try It Free button. Type in the promo code Stephanie. Be sure to use the promo code Stephanie. I don't remember my life before GoToMeeting. It doesn't count. It doesn't even matter.
Bet you could have used it at the Itchy Kitty.
Yes, when I was a dancer at the Itchy Kitty, we were discussing choreography. I could have been, instead of having to show up early. You had to drive in rush hour to get to the valley to your job.
Yeah, the 101 is hell through.
Exactly.
Uh huh.
It's a little seedy.
Yeah.
Okay. So. All right, let's dive into the Right Wing World, see what's doing, shall we? Noted feminist Michael Savage, not an Elena Kagan fan?
No, he is not.
I hope that they take my advice. Now that there are 3 female Supremes, I hope that they come out when they announce rulings and do a, you know, stop in the name of jurisprudence, something. They do some sort of little routine. Speaking of choreography, a little something, don't you think?
No, I'd advise against that.
All right.
They would lose their gravitas.
All right. Oh, come on. You know, Ruth Bader Ginsburg's wearing something naughty. She's wearing like a sequin thong under there or something.
That's what that lace is for along her
collar.
Yeah,
that little teasy lace. That little, I bet you don't know what's under here. All right.
That's gross. You just made me think of Ruth Bader Ginsburg naked.
Mm-mm. Okay, oh. Michael Savage.
My dad, God rest his soul, owned a little store, a little antique store, in New York's poor Lower East Side. Today it's not poor. Today they have vomit bars. On every corner.
What?
Every corner they have another yuppie puking on the curb at 3 o'clock in the morning. But
that's a bummer.
I was a kid, it was a poor neighborhood. There were pickle stores where Elena Kagan belongs and things like that on Essex Street, wearing a dirty apron.
Elena Kagan should be work at a pickle store with a dirty apron?
Yeah.
Okay. What? Any? Was there any thoughts on why?
I think it was a Jewish slam.
Oh, I see. Because I was going to say
she's nothing more
dean
than
of Harvard Law and Solicitor General. I would think that's
Michael Savage thinks she's nothing more than a dirty Jew.
Oh, I see. I see his point now.
Mm-hmm.
With a dirty apron.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's just move on. Hannity and Newt Gingrich on the liberals, frankly.
Isn't that where we are, though, in terms of American society? The American people support Arizona's immigration law, but it doesn't matter to liberal Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
The American people don't want this mosque built. It doesn't matter to liberal Democrats. This isn't government up by and for the people, or it's so it does not seem right now in America, which, again, is frightening.
What you have right now is government of the elites, by the elites, and for the elites, whether it's elitist judges overturning the vote of the people of California, or it's elitist politicians in Washington, or in City Hall, or in the Attorney General's office in New York State.
Wow, we've got a little racism, sexism, and homophobia all in the first two soundbites.
Yep, that pretty much...
Yeah, this is America. It's not. We're not mosque-y. We're not all mosque-y and gay.
Huh? Is that a word?
Well, But we've always had mosques in America, for God's sakes. We were founded on freedom of religion. What?
Did you see that a Fox News host, Greg Gutfeld, is going to be trying to open a gay bar next to that mosque?
Oh.
In Manhattan?
Because that's funny, because I see, yeah.
Yeah, he thinks it'd be a poke in the eye to Islam, but I think you should go for it. It just underscores, you know, that we accept everybody here in America.
Yeah. Okay, what the hell does that even mean, by the way? Is they keep saying that about the Arizona law. People want comprehensive immigration reform, and the right does not want that.
Nope.
When they keep saying, oh, they're for the Arizona law, it's because they are for fixing our immigration system out of frustration. It's like they're not for fixing the problem, as Chris Matthews would say. You're not serious. You're not serious about it. I like when he badgers people about immigration reform.
He's good at that.
You're not serious then. Forget it. Get out of here. All right. Rush Limbaugh on the Michelle Obama vacationing in Spain. Because first ladies have never vacationed anywhere.
Why is there no outrage over Michelle Maybell Obama with all these expenditures, 60 Secret Service people, by the way, on this trip to Spain? The answer is patently obvious.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as the media is concerned, Mrs. Obama deserves this. Look at our slave past. Look at our discriminatory past. It's only fair that people of color get their taste of the wealth of America, too. That's your answer.
Oh, it's because of slavery.
That she's allowed to...
Yes, she's the only first lady ever that's gone overseas for a visit with and had Secret Service. But in case you haven't noticed, she's black. Wow, that's a... Does that seem to me like there's a little bit of a... Look at her, she's being awfully uppity, isn't she? Thinking she can travel to fancy foreign places.
Oh my goodness, he's black.
Did I miss something? Haven't other first ladies traveled since the whole history of what? Why is there that? Just because it's on Fox, right?
Because it's on Fox.
Oh, in this economy, she's traveling. Okay, Mark Levin on Elena Kagan.
Elena Kagan does not believe in the United States Constitution as written. Neither do her three radical activist justices colleagues on the court. Now that's a fact.
It's a fact.
But they don't believe in the Constitution?
Well, then how did they get confirmed?
Well, that's tricky.
Yeah.
They all slipped in. Okay. Rich Lowry on the mosque.
You don't build a mosque right adjacent to the worst act of terrorism we've ever seen on U.S. soil. That's just obvious. And it has nothing to do with freedom of religion. If you drew a 10 or 15 block radius around Ground Zero and say, go build this community center or this mosque or whatever it is, their story changes about what exactly it's going to be. No one would object to it. Now, maybe they should object to it because of some of the associations of these people and where the money might come from ultimately. But in principle, no one would object to building such a structure elsewhere.
Twit. 58 minutes out. I'll tell you where there's another one. 58 minutes after the hour, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
The Stephanie Miller Show. 6 minutes after the hour, Charlie Pierce, our Tuesday pal, coming up shortly. Tuesdays with Tyler. Aisha Tyler joins us in studio next hour. Well, and hilarious and smart.
Yes.
Wildly popular new feature, Tuesdays with Tyler.
1-800. Tall. She's very tall.
She's very tall. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Chris Lloyd, voice deity, Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Hi, Jim Ward.
Hello.
Well, hello. I've been saving a guest the quote
I
for you.
I understand. Were you streaming?
Well, Chris is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the camera's just on me.
Good.
It's all about him.
Yes, you can visit it by, well, there's a link at Stephanie Miller's Facebook page and at Twitter.com/SMShow.
Yes. So you can see Chris's giant guns or whatever those. You've gotten huge. Don't get all roid ragey on me when I imply that you take roids.
And I don't,
don't make me angry.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Yes, Mr. Right. Eddie's father.
Oh, all right, Jim. Mm-hmm. Who said, it's a, it's very timely, guess the quote. Who said, I still believe in God, but in the name of Christ, I refuse to be anti-gay. I refuse to be anti-feminist. I refuse to be anti-artificial birth control. I refuse to be anti-democrat. I refuse to be anti-secular humanism. I refuse to be anti-science. I refuse to be anti-life.
Charles Nelson Reilly.
Well, that was a good guess, but no. Anne Rice, who just, the you know.
Mm-hmm. Love her.
Vampire writer.
Vampire lady.
Well, she's not a vampire, but she writes about them.
She wrote about them.
Yes.
Her last books have been about the life of Christ.
Yes, and she just left the Catholic Church. And
she was also undead. Connection, perhaps.
So good for her for having courage to do that.
Thank you. Ken, my right-wing love muffin in New York. Hello, Ken.
Hello, Stephanie. I'd like to talk to you about that judge's ruling about gay marriage.
Out here in California, eh? Uh-huh.
Let me ask you a question here. Do you think a mother should be able to marry her son now? And
yes.
And a father should be able to marry his daughter?
Yes.
Ken, there's one difference between that. Children, according to state laws, do not have the right to consent. That is not between two consenting adults.
So that would be a horrible analogy, but try again.
So,
what's your next question?
Now, what if they were grown up? What if they were of legal age?
Ken, how is that analogous in any way?
What about somebody being able to marry, like, 10 women? Would that be okay, then?
Hearts of Utah.
Okay, again, how is that analogous to two consenting adults?
That wouldn't be okay, because if that's what you're saying, mm-hmm. aren't you kind of defining what marriage is?
So you're saying it's a slippery slope, if we allow gays
right.
to
marry.
Okay, yeah. So if it's not, if you're defining what marriage is...
It's a slippery gay slope with Astrolube,
it's
right?
It's kind of a gateway drug.
Yes.
Or gateway.
Then why can't the people of California?
What has the slope been lubed with this morning, in your opinion? Like Astroglide?
The official personal lubricant of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Let me ask you this. If a guy who claims to be homosexual decides he wants to marry a woman down the road, can he do that?
Why not?
Well, see, then he's not really being denied anything, is he? He's got the same rights as everybody else.
Well, that would make a lie.
But. That's what you call equal.
So you're making the same argument that Tony Perkins is, that gay people have the right to marry as long as it's someone of the opposite sex.
That's right.
Yes.
That's
very big of you.
Ken, it's not just about sex. It's also about love. Okay?
Well, see, what you're...
Do you love your wife? Do you love your wife?
You are requesting...
Do you love your wife?
Unequal rights. You are requesting unequal treatment under the law.
How is that unequal for gay people to have the same rights you do? By the way, who is the lovely Mrs. Kent? Tell us a little about her.
Why do you want to know all about that? I didn't.
Why am I getting all up in your private business?
Yeah.
Funny you.
I
you can't ask me questions. I ask you questions. And
why are you getting all no private? Why are you up in my private business, Missy?
What if you're like pie and you want to marry both kinds? What if like suddenly you discover you're gay and then you decide you're not and then you want to have sex with a dog. What then?
All right. Okay.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. Mm-hmm. At no point were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
Yeah.
You listen to me, Missy.
Gotcha.
My wife, none of your business, woman.
What if you want to marry a squid? What then?
Well, you know, Don.
She did not seem to want to answer my Astroglide questions, and my questions were more relevant. What has the slippery slope been lubed with, in your opinion, politically?
Well, let me just say that Don has gained an equal right, too. He can marry someone of the same sex now.
Sure.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. America's all about freedom.
If he suddenly discovers his intense homophobia is really masking something else.
Something else?
Yeah.
Like that preacher that protested the underwear package.
Yes.
Pictures in that Kmart.
Disgusting. In Alabama.
All these packages. But the packages on them staring me in the face. I must buy them all. To destroy them, of course.
I must get these from the children.
And a bonfire. Along with my Beatles records.
Do you have any other packages with that particular jockey model on them? He is disgusting and he must be taken off the shelves and put in my basement immediately.
For further study.
Jockey doesn't have the good models. That would be Calvin Klein.
Oh, pardon me.
Or to exist.
Disgusting, that pretty boy.
Uh-huh.
Package is entirely too big on that package.
No, Jockey has, like, retired baseball players on there.
That was fun.
Well, they are getting kind of disgusting, the men's underwear package.
Janie!
Oh, wait, oh!
Janie in Orange County would like to know what the gay agenda is. Hello, Janie!
Hello, Stephanie. How are you this morning?
Good. Go ahead.
I have been a lesbitarian.
A lesbitarian?
Lesbitarian.
Uh-huh.
I know what you really wanted to say.
Uh-huh. And I don't know what the homosexual agenda is, and how do they know what it is already?
Damn it. We could swing an antique and hit West Hollywood from here. But we don't have copies of the gay agenda?
No, sorry. I haven't been able to find mine for a long time.
All right. Thank you, Jane. All right. Here's the story about the... these are the straight family values. Mm-hmm. On Facebook, wife learns of husband's second wedding.
Oh.
Ken is right. Oh, see, nice. The gay marriage of the Prop 8 ruling has already caused polygamy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. An Ohio woman says she discovered her husband had married another woman when she found photos of the wedding on Facebook. Ruh-roh. That damn Facebook.
Facebook is the work of the devil.
But she says she suspected confirmation came last year when she saw photos of the fairy tale wedding in Walt Disney World posted on his new wife's Facebook profile.
Oh, dear.
What could be more American? They got married.
Frankly, I think I want him to be my presidential running mate, frankly. Frankly, there's a man after my own heart, frankly.
By the way, we have a little bit of breaking news coming out of Alaska this morning.
Yes.
There's been a plane crash, and eight people were on board, and it is feared that former Senator Ted Stevens was one of
Are reporting he was, and some are saying he was not.
Right,
they don't
right. Know. Five people out of the eight have died, and it is feared that former Senator Ted Stevens is one of them. And as soon as we find out, we will let you know.
All right. David in Washington State, we were in the midst of the right-wing world. David, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. We were on the mosque controversy. Yes, David.
Just really quick, you guys. Keith Olbermann reported last night real quick that Muslims, there's a mosque-like facility in the Pentagon.
What?
Oh, my God.
You can't do that.
As long as there's no gays.
We have to blow up the Pentagon immediately. Oh, wait.
Wait a minute. It's in the Pentagon. It's inside the Pentagon. And no one's ever said anything about it. Yeah.
In conjunction with all other religious practices inside the Pentagon.
Right, there's a synagogue, there's a chapel. Yeah.
Yes.
So, and these GOP teabaggers are especially the ones that are in the House and the Senate, are just incredible because if they're so worried about this mosque being built three blocks away from Ground Zero, why did they vote no on funding money for 9/11 responders?
Yeah, exactly. That? Thank you. How about that? Huh? Okay, here's some the mosque fun facts. A two-year study, by a group of academics on Muslims and terrorism, and concluded that contemporary mosques are actually a deterrent to the spread of militant Islam and terrorism.
Yeah.
Someone else said that, Jim. You'd think, you know, actually, that would probably they're not going to bomb a mosque. So, first of all, Our research suggests initiatives that treat Muslim Americans as part of the solution to this problem are far more likely to be successful. Muslim American communities have been active in preventing radicalization. This is one reason that Muslim American terrorism has resulted in fewer than 36 of the 136,000 murders committed in the U.S. since 9/11.
I don't have any hard numbers, but I'd wager to say that the majority of Muslims aren't terrorists.
What?
You have nothing to fear from them.
Okay.
Unless you're eating pork.
Liz Cheney on Fox. Let's finish up the right-wing world. Liz Cheney on Fox News.
The president is spending his time out there bashing George Bush. And, you know, it occurs to me that you kind of lack credibility for that sort of criticism.
Oh, really?
It's awfully hard to criticize George Bush for deficit spending while President Obama is simultaneously engaged in the most massive deficit spending in the history of the Republic.
Yeah, and his is worse because he's, you know, black.
Didn't the Bush administration blame everything on Clinton?
Yes.
The Clinton recession?
The Clinton-Gore recession.
Yeah.
That they inherited.
Right.
And they also inherited 9/11. Yes,
of course. Which is on Clinton's watch, clearly.
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right, Ted Olson, who just won the Prop 8 case out here in California on Fox News Sunday.
Would you like Fox's right to free press put up to a vote and say, well, if 5 states have approved it, let's wait till the other 45 states do? These are fundamental constitutional rights. The Bill of Rights guarantees Fox News and you, Chris Wallace, the right to speak. It's in the Constitution, and the Supreme Court has repeatedly held that the denial of our citizens of the equal rights to equal access to justice under the law is a violation of our fundamental rights.
Wow. Snap. Take that. Can I just say I would give anything to hear Ted Olson debate that Ken guy that just called in?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, okay, then. How about if... Okay. By the way, Jim, Tony Perkins?
Mm-hmm.
No, Mother Blood,
thank
no.
You, thank
okay,
you.
All right, it's not that one.
So. No, not that one. we will be back with some of his latest thoughts on the Prop 8 case. 18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
She's your information slut. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Katy Perry, who's on the cover of Rolling Stone.
Jim, he's such a music fan.
Yes, that's what it is.
22 minutes after the hour.
Is she in a bikini? Mm-hmm. Daisy Duke with a bikini on top?
Mm-hmm.
1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Lavender Pitt, the official roller derby queen of the Stephanie Miller Show from Tucson. Good morning.
Morning, Mama. Morning, Mooks. How are you?
Hello. Good.
I was reading this morning on the Daily Beast that the guy from Fox News opening the gay bar at Ground Zero is actually serious.
He's very serious. He's already talked to investors.
And that just makes it funnier.
Yes. Exactly.
Yes, yes.
It's like adding the whipped cream and the cherry to the homophobia doesn't work cake.
Yeah, I think he's actually on our side on this.
Which just makes it richer and
right.
Exactly. Exactly. All right, Lavender.
But is it a Muslim gay bar?
Oh, I guess. Yes. No, he's going to cater to followers of Islam.
Oh, really?
Yes, he is.
Interesting.
Yes.
Wow.
Vince. Yes. Vince.
I don't know how good of a business model it is because,
that's kind of niche.
They have to be wearing burkas.
And plus, downtown doesn't have the world's biggest population, but, we'll see.
Vince in Detroit. Hello, Vince.
Hey. Now, we all know that homosexuals just want the same rights under the current law as everyone else. And they keep saying that it's going to lead to a slippery slope. Well, under current law, how is that possible when it won't lead to polygamy because your second marriage won't be recognized until the first one is somehow annulled? And under current law, it won't lead to bestiality because how is your dog going to sign the marriage certificate?
Exactly.
It's also, a dog can't consent.
Trust me.
How is your dog going to go to
the... Trust me. If my dogs had opposable thumbs, they'd be doing all my paperwork.
And they'd be filing for divorce.
Nudie, do me and Fred love mommy. Mommy loves you. My dogs make me sound like Carol Channing.
The only reason they stick around is because you feed them.
Not truly, ladies and gentlemen. Fred does the cutest thing now.
Oh, no.
Because since I moved back, he's become kind of a feral dog. Because, you know, they couldn't get out in New York, so now he has a yard and a dog door.
Mm-hmm.
He likes to take a pillow outside where he can sleep outside.
Oh.
When his pillow, he goes a little camping trip. He takes a little pillow and he has a dog door.
Doggy sleeping bag.
Remind me not to lay on that pillow when I come over.
He smells a little like skunk. He's raising skunks out there. I don't know what's happening. He smells a little bit skunky. Like, I think he got skunked, and now he has befriended them. And now, you know, it's like the Abandoned by Wolves story, and now he's being raised by skunks, basically, in the yard. All right.
That's weird.
I have some...
Yeah. Two skunks in the yard.
I just love this story, in light of the whole gay marriage thing, and our last caller with the, I don't know, analogies. West Virginia man caught with pants down and an armless mannequin in a public park. But, Jim, I think you get the point of the story. It was a mannequin of the opposite sex.
Oh, well, okay then. Well, then that's
okay. It's not at all weird or sick in any way.
But a mannequin doesn't have the necessary lady parts.
Some do. Oh, the mannequin, like a...
Yeah,
not
blow-up doll.
How do you know that, Jim?
Not blow-up doll.
No, according to the actual mannequins from Macy's.
Yes.
The sheriff's department, 61-year-old Eddie Campbell, was caught at Booker T. Washington Memorial Park with his shirt off and his pants around his ankles, committing lewd acts with a mannequin. Deputies say Campbell was sitting on a park bench with an armless mannequin on his lap, holding it with one hand and pleasuring himself with another. because she's armless, you know. If she couldn't give him a hand, she probably would, but she had no arms.
Actually, you don't see mannequins much anymore in department stores.
When the deputy
I think they're all up on the ninth floor.
When the deputy identified himself, Campbell stopped, pushed the mannequin off him, and pulled his pants up. What, you whore! What are you doing? Get off
How
me!
How dare you!
Oh, officer! I'm so sorry.
Slut.
She's a slut. Look at her slut. Get off. We're in public.
Slut made of wood.
Got no strings to hold me down.
Yeah.
Got no
How much do I love that story? Okay.
Why I never.
Marsha. Marsha.
Maggie in Los Angeles, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hello. How you doing?
Yes. Hello.
I just wanted to reply to the gentleman with the incest and polygamy argument.
Yes.
The whole point of the judge's ruling in the recent case was that there's no provable harm.
Yes.
And with incest, there's provable harm in terms of, you know, it's just not good for close relatives.
And it's not,
as
Chris pointed out, it's not just incest. He was talking about, you know, child molestation, essentially.
Right. Yeah. That's against the law.
Yeah.
Right. So there's provable psychological and biological harm with incest. With the polygamy argument, when one man has 10 wives, 9 men are wifeless. And so, again, there's societal harm. In the Warren Jeffs cult in southern Utah, they are evicting young men.
Right.
So that
the
rich and the powerful old dudes can hog all the female butts.
Maggie, there's one thing I think you and I can both agree on, and that is women should be able to marry as many men as possible.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Oh,
and,
for crying out loud.
I'm almost an elderly, disabled shut-in. I need all the help I can get. I need like a SWAT team.
You can't find one man.
You know what I want to do, Mary? I want to marry those men that used to carry Madeline Kahn around on the stretcher.
That's a good idea, too. And they have to be firemen.
Yes, exactly.
I'm sure their wives would be very pleased about that.
Yes. I need someone to carry me around. I could dispense with the mobility scooters. Could you all please step on the same foot at the same time? My are falling off.
You want meat mobility scooters. That's what you want.
29 minutes after the hour. Right back with Charlie Pierce, our Tuesday pal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Hey, I love your act. Nice melons. And our Hooters ain't bad either.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 34 minutes after the hour. Half an hour away from Tuesdays with Tyler. Aisha Tyler just tweeted.
Oh.
She said, what did she say? Oh, it's her second Tuesdays with Tyler?
Yes, it's her second Tuesdays with Tyler, so it's the perfect time for her to show up drunk and wreck the studio.
Yoo-hoo! You know, she should be careful. I'm doing Larry King tonight with guest host Tavis Smiley. It could very easily be Tuesdays with Tavis. Just saying.
I'd rather have Tuesdays with Tyler.
Yeah, me too.
She would like to give that up this the prestigious unpaid Tuesdays with Tyler slot.
How's the Thursdays with Thad thing going? I think we should have Thad Allen here to talk about the latest developments of the back of that.
I vote for Tuesdays with Tyler because Tavis Smiley. He's a great interviewer.
Yes.
Not known for his sense of humor.
No. Not known for his zippy wit, as is Aisha Tyler. All right. You know who is known for his zippy wit? Yeah. There's only one man now that understands. And that's the author of Idiot America.
Pierce.
Charlie Pierce, the funniest writer in the world, from the Boston Globe.
Why is everybody always laughing with me?
Charlie, I don't know, you might have a mind to leave your prestigious slot by going out the emergency holding
what,
beers.
Is that the way to quit your job or what?
Yay, JetBlue guy! JetBlue guy!
Adios, MFers, I'm going home.
Going home to bang his boyfriend. He was found in bed by the cops with his boyfriend.
Awesome.
Really?
Yes.
Awesome.
Oh, boy. Now I know the rest of the story.
That's right. The rest of the story.
Speaking of long mix, anyway.
I can make a hat. I can make a brooch.
Pterodactyl.
They were both at home doing the emergency slide.
Exactly. Yay.
Thank you. Please return your boyfriend to his original upright position. Tavis Smiley is hosting Larry King tonight?
Yes.
Is there a TV show he hasn't hosted?
I know.
I've been waiting for him to turn up on the Discovery Channel finding some, you know, very valuable gumball machine in somebody's barn.
No, he's going to host Sarah Palin's Alaska on the Discovery Channel.
How about that, huh?
Oh, yeah. Oh, God.
I have a new American hero. That woman with the sign.
Yeah, how about Stephen Slater, the finest American today? I mean, plus in this economy, you've got to love that. A guy that not just quits his job, but in spectacular fashion. That was our favorite touch, taking the beers, and I'm taking the beer.
Excellent. I'm taking a beer, and I'm going home, MFers. I got somebody waiting there.
That was one of the greatest lines ever on a PA system.
Thank you, Judge Walker. I'm going home.
That's right.
To the mother who just called me a mother. You gotta love that.
Hey, anybody who's traveled on airplanes any time in the last 5 years knows who those MFers are. By the way,
I know. Anybody who's been hit in the head by a bag coming out of the overhead compartment. So Charlie, meanwhile, in other apocalyptic news, the ice shelf that has melted in Greenland and there are fires in Russia.
See, I'm not worried about the ice shelf. I'm worried about the fact that Russia's burning down and somebody should really do something about this.
Yeah. But move along, global warming deniers, the climate change denier. There's nothing more to see here.
This is unbelievable to me. This is now the point where anybody who believes in the denialism should be as marginalized as the people who believe that, you know, they should be the Eric Von Danikins of climate stories now. When they call, people should just say, oh, no, the nut from the denialist side is here again. Let's hang up.
Yep.
I think the space aliens are causing it, actually.
They're doing very elaborate crop circles, only this time they're all black.
So, Charlie Pierce, obviously still people in a hubbub over the Prop 8 ruling out here in California.
I imagine, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it's all cattywampus.
Well, I mean, I had, you know, in the recently released book Idiot America, now in paperback, available at your bookstores. there's a chapter in there about Judge John Jones. Thank you. The Judge John Jones who did the Kitzmiller intelligent design ruling.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was the toughest federal court ruling I'd ever read until I read this one.
Yeah.
This guy got. I mean, every now and then you see a judge who decides that he'd been sitting in a courtroom for a long time and he had better things to do and that this was a waste of his time, and he says, "I get one chance at these, and I'm popping a beer, hitting the slide, and saying adios, MFers." This guy took every club out of the bag. It was unbelievable.
Yep, legally speaking. I know. I mean, that's the thing is, obviously, most legal analysts say, I mean, you know, whatever you think of it, it is really a very, very sound legal ruling. And meanwhile, you know, you've got people like Tony Perkins. Jim, Tony Perkins.
No, mother blood, no!
Not me, even if I'm a dad bar.
Not that one.
Not that Tony Perkins.
Guy, the family research guy. Yeah. Do you love this argument? Charlie argued that the judge who overturned the ban should have recused himself because of his, you know, gayness.
Yes, I'm sure that, you know, the tingle in Tony's leg was something that distracted him
right.
from giving this case the proper. Yeah, this is a brilliant. By the way, last Christmas Eve, did three spirits come to visit Ted Olson and say, Arkansas Project Ted, Bush v. Gore Ted, time to reform your life? This guy's been great.
He really has.
I know.
I mean, what he did to Chris Wallace this weekend should not be done to the worst dog you've ever met.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah,
maybe we should vote on Fox News' right to free speech. Gugh.
Should we hear? We got to hear that again. Yeah. Ted Olson.
Would you like Fox's right to free press put up to a vote and say, well, if 5 states have approved it, let's wait till the other 45 states do? These are fundamental constitutional rights. The Bill of Rights guarantees Fox News and you, Chris Wallace, the right to speak. It's in the Constitution, and the Supreme Court has repeatedly held that the denial of our citizens of the equal rights to equal access to justice under the law is a violation of our fundamental rights.
Damn that 14th Amendment.
Damn, I got to ask my daddy for help. I don't know. What should I say?
That's the way to argue that.
Yep.
I mean, you know, I don't, you know, I'm very happy that people can get married now if they want to get married, but I don't really have a dog in the fight of people getting married. I have a dog in the fight of equal protection and putting civil liberties up to a plebiscite.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen. That's not allowed.
By the way, I was asking for them to start gay marriages immediately.
Yeah.
Right?
Now, especially the hot chicks. I want them to get married.
I want to see especially the hot lesbians.
I have two questions. What do you do, and can I watch? Don't you think he's got enough trouble at this point? He just wants this issue off his plate. I mean,
I will officiate at the wedding and also the honeymoons.
These things of this nature.
Honeymoon.
Yeah, I think you're right. He just wants this off his plate.
I mean, I think most politicians do, to be honest with you. I think that this, you know, I think most of them see the essential logic of the position, which mm-hmm. is basically, what do I care?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. But even Democrats are
the
running.
The ice shelf just melted in Greenland, yeah. along with the economy.
And Russia's burning down. What do I care?
But right. even Democrats who are running for office are staying silent on this issue. Barbara Boxer just said, oh, great, and let's move on. You know,
not just that, but if anybody can figure out exactly what the White House position is on this, I will be tremendous because I think the White House position on this is probably illegal in several states.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I actually in person once heard
it's the sign of the two-humped lizard again. Trouble.
I heard Barbara Boxer speak once in person. You know, I did an event for her.
Right.
This is a few years ago, and she's awesome.
Yes.
But I remember her talking about, I think it was the Defense of Marriage Act, and she literally said, when I first heard about it, she said, I really thought it was something that was going to help, you know, marriage, like people that are married, you know, child care, something, you know, and she goes, it's what? It's about what? What does that have to do with my marriage?
Yeah.
Well, we have a federal judge up here in Massachusetts that's already ruled DOMA unconstitutional, which will go to the Supreme Court and probably be overturned.
Right.
But I mean that's one of the legacies, with all due respect to the former president. That's one of the millstones Bill Clinton hung around the neck of his party.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I mean, and it's but I mean to me. I'm not a politician. I don't even play one on the radio. But what you say is, what do I care? Move on. And, you know, and at the very least, you're on the right side of demographics.
Yep.
Because once you get the polls under the age of 30, the entire opinion of the nation is, what do I care?
I know. Exactly. Exactly. Tony Perkins, Jim.
No, mother blood! No,
we just said not that guy. Some more thoughts. He said, the fight over Crop Aid is not going to go away with the federal judge's finding, blah, blah, blah. He hopes sanity will reign when it makes it to the Supreme Court.
You kidding me. There is no sanity clause.
Yeah.
Hey.
Hey.
See what you did there?
I don't have a sanity clause.
I'm going to call
a ride. By the way, you may have missed it with Ted Olson's ritual disembowelment of Chris Wallace, but David Boies did pretty much the same thing to
Tony
Perkins.
That's what I was bringing this up for, is that he says, so Tony Perkins said the judge has substituted his own views for social science, but David Boies said the social science Perkins referred to was junk science. I mean, it's literally George Wrecker's science.
He blinded me with stupid.
He said, why do you make these people suffer if it doesn't harm anybody? We put fear and prejudice on trial, and fear and prejudice lost. You know, like next case.
If you want to marry your rent boy, you should be allowed to do it.
Yeah,
as long as he's legal.
Yeah, I mean, that was one of the, I mean, wasn't that the most hilarious part of the trial, Charlie? Is that the guy, they were basing the science on George Wrecker's studies.
That was the equivalent in the Kitzmiller trial of this guy, Michael Behe, who's one of the prominent intelligent design, quote-unquote, scientists, who got up and under this incredible cross-examination had to admit that under his definition of science, astrology is a science.
Yeah.
See, all these people have developed their...
You know, it's just like a Scorpio to say that.
You know, in the cocoon of the wingnut welfare. And they've never really been tested. None of this stuff's ever been peer-reviewed.
Right.
Because they don't trust, you know, because science has, you know, science and empirical reality has a little... By the way, have you seen the latest from Phyllis Schlafly's son?
What? No.
No.
The theory of relativity is a liberal plot.
Oh.
Really?
Not just evolution. Einstein.
Mm. Wow.
And there's an entire universe of people who are out there not listening to any other opinions who believe that to be the case.
Oh.
We are so screwed.
Yeah.
Wow.
And Russia's burning down. Have I mentioned that?
Yes.
Somebody should do something.
Help those people.
All right.
And by the way, that in those like wheat fields that are burning down because Russia's burning down now. There are, like, nuclear weapon silos and things.
Oh, great.
So
oh,
you pay attention to that, too.
Oh, jeez, yeah. There.
Oh, Jesus.
And now the other thing that I'm saying today is that, you know, of course, it burns right down through the topsoil. All of the stuff that's in the ground around Chernobyl is now going into the air.
Oh, that.
You know why?
Yeah, Charlie chuckles.
Russia's burning. Okay.
Yeah, Charlie keeps chuckling.
He's the boy who cried, Russia's burning. Whatever, Charlie.
And then the Gulf's going to explode in a giant methane mushroom cloud.
We got to go. Charlie Pierce, our Tuesday pal. See you next.
I have to go get a bucket and go to Kiev.
All right.
Yeah.
Hang up.
Goodbye.
Bye. There he goes.
Yay.
Russia's burning down. Actually, it's Ukraine. But yes.
Such an alarmist. 46 minutes after the hour. My favorite libertarian story.
Huh?
About Rand Paul next.
Oh, this is awesome.
On the Stephanie Miller Show.
More fun than a barrel of monkeys, moron.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Mm-hmm. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 51 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. TikTok, almost time for Tuesdays with Tyler. Aisha Tyler,
yes.
On her way in to the big studio. You know, oftentimes, Jim or I will go to the bathroom and walk by Rebecca, who is screening calls.
Yes.
And Jim overheard that someone wants to talk about the homosexual marriage. And we just sussed out what side of the issue he might be on. Just saying, sometimes when you overhear Rebecca's conversations...
And you spit out the word homosexual.
Yes.
There's a little spin on it. You know, you can sort of suss out.
Hello, Mike in Chicago. Your thoughts on the homosexuals and the marriage.
Yes, hi. Thanks for taking my call. Quickly, I'd just like to say that whenever the people, you know... I mean, I'm not a left or a right. I guess, of course, not. You know,
you like to
middle,
listen to both sides.
Absolutely.
Yes.
I think that one of the things you need to tell the people on the right is what's ruining marriage or what's going to dilute their marriages or however they phrase it.
What?
Is the 50% divorce rate. In my opinion, it's the heterosexuals who are making their own marriages look bad because, in my opinion, it's over 50%.
That's true.
And the trend is picking up in Europe. And on top of that, you know, why would you mention religion in all this? I mean, don't we have a separation of church and state? And
theoretically, yes.
All
marriages have to go through the straight, through the state. Not all, yes, not all marriages have to go through the church.
Freudian slip.
Yeah, but be that as it may, why do you want to give the government a green light to interfere in your own personal lives? Because we know that whenever the government gets a little bit of power, it always likes to expand on it.
That's not necessarily true, Mike.
Well, not necessarily, but it could potentially happen.
But you just said always.
Well, 99% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
On top of that, just quickly, I love what the homosexual parents do, and that is adopt kids.
I being in social service, it drives me nuts. Every time I go to one of these, you know, straight couples that are married, you know, they have 4 or 5 kids, they can't take care of them. And in third world countries, it's obviously a lot worse. Then you have these educated, you know, fairly wealthy homosexuals come in and pretty much save these kids from orphanages or,
yes,
you know, from a terrible life.
That's right.
And apparently to the people on the right, you know, they just want to, you know,
yes,
leave them in orphanages their entire life. I mean,
that's right. Thank you, Mike. Very good points with a little dollop of libertarian claptrap thrown in.
The government has to get involved in marriages because of the legal and property issues,
right,
that
yes,
are involved.
Yes.
So, but the church never has to get involved in a marriage.
I forget the quote from who was it who said that? Power corrupts.
Yes.
Absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Right. Yes.
But in this case, that's not.
Yeah.
We're not talking about Stalin.
No.
Speaking of libertarian claptrap. The headline is, I don't know.
No.
Rand Paul reportedly tied up a teammate in college and forced her to take bong hits. Now, mm-hmm, that's a libertarian.
He was on a co-ed team of some sort?
No.
No. The strangest episode, let's see, this is in the GQ profile. The strangest episode of his time at Baylor occurred one afternoon in 1983 when he and a brother in his liberal secret society.
Liberal?
That sounds gay. That's what it says. Brother in his liberal secret society. I don't know.
All right.
Paid a visit to a female student who was one of Paul's teammates on the Baylor swim team. According to the woman who, he and Randy came to my house. They knocked on my door, and then they blindfolded me, tied me up, put me in the car. They took me to their apartment and tried to force me to take bong hits. They had been smoking pot.
See? Libertarians, right-wingers who smoke pot.
Exactly. That's my point. See? That's.
See, you don't want the government interfering with the decisions, like whether or not you can sit at a lunch counter. I mean, if you want to sit at a lunch counter,
yes,
anywhere you want, just don't,
yes,
be a Negro.
If you,
see, it's free will. It's easy.
Next thing you know, you'll be at a lunch counter with a black person smoking pot next to you. Do you see how that got? You see the slippery slope there? George in Chicago. Hi, George. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, Mama. How are you feeling today?
Good. I'm all right. Go ahead.
Glad to hear it. Listen, briefly on Mrs. Obama's vacation.
Yeah. Spain.
Reported,
who does she think she is?
Yeah, well, we all know what she is, don't we? Look, the people involved in this trip, the Secret Service, the airplane crews, they're all on salary. They get paid whether they're in Washington or they're in,
right,
Spain.
Yes.
It doesn't matter. Second thing is, has been reported numerous times in numerous places, the threat level against this president and his family is the highest by a quantum measure in history. No,
mm-hmm,
other president has been subjected to,
yes, because of the kind of rhetoric about the fact that they don't really deserve to go on overseas vacations.
Yes.
Things
next,
like that.
Those are the same people who...
The Obamas basically, before this trip, have not traveled all that much. They've just gone to Camp David. They did not even come back home to Chicago until this year. They spent over a year away from,
right,
home.
Well,
and as we well know, the previous president was the most vacationing president,
yeah,
of all time. And just,
yep,
figure it out this way. How many trips back and forth to Texas equals one trip to Spain? 4 or 5, maybe? I think he's burned way more jet fuel than the Obamas,
oh,
will,
yeah,
ever even think,
yeah,
of burning.
Well,
up.
George, it's just another example of how, you know, things really are different in this presidency. There absolutely is racism in so many of the underlying arguments. I mean, it just, first ladies have traveled for years and years. Since when have you ever heard, you know, there been a fuss about a first lady traveling overseas? It's you know, I mean, it's ridiculous.
Well, nothing is too ridiculous for a racist to say.
Yes, exactly. You know what I wish?
Well, she's one of those welfare queens in Cadillacs, except now she's in Air Force One.
You know what I wish she would have done, Chris, just to shove it in Fox News' face?
What?
I wish she would have grabbed a couple of beers and slid down the chute out of the plane in Spain. Ha, ha, take that.
And then went home and banged her boyfriend?
What?
What? No,
huh?
She's...
That's when
boyfriend.
The analogy breaks down.
All right.
Yeah, that's when the analogy breaks down.
Yes, exactly. All right. You know, Elena Kagan got what do you call it?
Confirmed.
Confirmed.
Sworn in.
Sworn in to the Supreme Court.
Nearly two centuries, there wasn't a single woman on the
what?
Supreme Court. When Elena was a clerk, there was just one. But when she takes her seat on that bench for the first time in history, there will be 3 women serving on our nation's highest court.
But because apparently you I was going to make a Supremes joke. Never mind. Something of Ken Hurry, not love. Never mind. I just hope, don't you hope they come out? Would that be funny? Maybe just at like their little Supreme Court parties, they'll do some Supremes routines. The three female justices. Just saying, it would be fun. All right, 58. Just my dream, I guess. 58 minutes after the hour. Right back with Tuesdays with Tyler on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 6 minutes after the hour. Update on the plane crash in Alaska. Reporter Chris Boyd.
Yes, apparently former Senator Ted Stevens was confirmed to be on the plane, but they don't know if he's one of the five that have died yet. Also, former NASA chief Sean O'Keefe is confirmed to be on the plane, but they don't know if he's one of the five that has died yet either.
Wow.
And rescue efforts are being hampered by weather, but apparently a rescue plane has just landed at the site with and the crew includes a doctor. So, seeing what comes out of that.
All right. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoie, voice Deedee, Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Don't forget Mama on the Larry King Live tonight with guest host Tavis Smiley. Tuesdays with Tavis would be lame.
He's not very smiley.
No.
Aisha Tyler, actress, author, and activist.
So if today's Tuesday, it gives us...
Tuesdays with Tyler. Aisha Tyler. With Tyler. She's dancing to her jingle.
My own song. Not self-involved in the slightest. I say, though, wait. With a name like Aisha, it's very exciting to have a song.
Don't let us interrupt your snack.
It's my second Tuesday.
You know, it's only your second Tuesday.
I came in, the studio smells like turkey and my shoes off. It took me very little time to turn into a jackass.
You're getting ready to grab a couple of beers and slide out the emergency chute and quit.
Next week, I just shows up at 8:39. Hey, what's up? Susie with Tyler. I'm here relatively on time. No.
We got your tweet that it's your second Tuesday, so it's time to get drunk and trash the studio.
But right now, this is knocks over the desk and throws stuff. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. How much do you love that guy, the JetBlue flight attendant? Did you hear that story?
He is my favorite person in the world. And literally, like, he could have been anybody, but he's done what all of us have wanted to do at one point in our life, which is get on some kind of amplified system and go, you people get out second! You know, I would have loved to have been there because I would have totally cheered him. I would have been like, you're a badass, Mr. Dude in Polyester, rock out. And then he exited like a rock band. He was like, I'm out! Bam!
Yeah, right. Just
exactly. Yeah. They were like pyrotechnics.
Yeah. They may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom.
He jumped out. He was like, thank you, 747. Good night.
I was looking for the rock star cheer. That's what we needed. We need people with lighters. Just
all right.
Like.
Do Freebird, Mr. Attendant guy. I love him.
Yeah. He's awesome. Yeah. Good night.
I also think he scurried away. Now, I just feel like he should have just held for applause.
Yeah.
I said what I needed to say. Judge
and we
me
thought
if you
the
will.
Favorite part was the grabbing the two beers on the way out, but then the breaking news this morning is the police found him in bed with having sex with his boyfriend, which makes the story even better because you know how hot that story was.
Like,
honey, you're not going to believe what I did.
Exactly.
Oh, come here.
Now, here, drink this semi-warm Heineken and let me give you some business.
Wait, tell me that story again.
Today I'm pitching, baby. Let's do this.
Do it again on the what you did.
It.
They probably have a bullhorn so you can do it. Do what you did on the PA.
Exactly.
Killed a mother who called me a mother. You. Oh. God,
so,
that makes me
that
hot.
Must have been really. Yeah, it's hot. It's hot. In my head, it's working completely. This is.
Listen, I would have forced him to have sex with me, and he's gay. I mean, I would have been like, oh, that is
just,
so hot.
Yeah, the neighbor lady's like, look, I heard what you did. Could you swing by? I just close your eyes and imagine I'm somebody else. Imagine right. I just asked you for a second bag of peanuts. Now give it to me, baby. Give it to me. So awesome. Oh, that was serious rock.
I got
move.
Your bag of peanuts right here.
Right here, baby. Cha, cha, cha.
All right.
Now, we always keep it classy here on Tuesdays with Tyler. How quickly can we talk about time?
I am always impressed when a in-studio guest gets here on time in Los Angeles, in the to Los Angeles traffic, in rush hour.
It is my goal as a representative.
You go, girl.
Ooh, I was going to say, it's my goal as representative of my people here on the 70 Miller Show to always be on time.
Well,
I'm going to try to avoid CP time if I can.
Because we have our share of road rage incidents out here in L.A. Yes. This is my favorite story in Pennsylvania. Woman uses dirty diaper in traffic beef. State police said a woman wiped a dirty diaper on the window of another woman's vehicle during a dispute in a traffic jam.
Well, that's resourceful. I mean, you know, reduce, reuse, recycle. You know what I'm saying? Why use a new weapon when you've got one just aging in the car waiting to be
in the silo?
That's kind of an argument ender there.
Exactly. Yeah, I don't even know if you're angry at that point. You're just confused. Like, did she just rub a diaper on my... What? What's happening? Where am
window.
I? What's my name? That literally, I have such an aversion to poo. That would be my reaction. Where am I? What's my name? What year is it? Oh, God. Like, I cannot even... Oh, just the idea of it God. Now. It's just all my rods and cones and my this neurons is, are not firing anymore.
And this is the second story I'm doing because it's about poo.
two poo stories.
And now,
classic.
A story about a poodle.
It's hard to believe you can make our show more immature, but you do it somehow.
It's my goal. It's
Save
my goal
the poo stories for Aisha.
Sadly, what I realize is that you knew this about me before I came on the show.
Out of Spring Hill, Florida, sheriff's deputies responded to a crash at an intersection. A crash and injured driver and an alleged drunk driver weren't all they had to deal with. According to the arrest report, the at-fault driver defecated in his pants during a DUI investigation.
Oh. Wow. Wow, that is drunk.
That's I'm that saying drunk. At that point you failed the DUI test.
Right. You failed a lot of things at that point.
What?
No, but here's the thing. I've never done either of these. Well, maybe when I was a little kid, I peed my pants. That is pretty. That's a pretty simple task. You know what I mean? It doesn't take a lot of effort to pee your pants. There's work involved in crapping. You know what I mean? That's not a 1 second. Oh my God! Whoopsie! What happened? That's a wait a minute, everybody. If you could just give me a if you could just stand by, please, for just a
poop shy. That's
could,
for
yeah,
sure.
If you could avert your eyes for about the next. You know what I mean? Like that's work. That's so much work. That poor guy. And there's no tying a sweatshirt around your waist and walking that one off. You know what I mean? It's just awful.
Even one of my dogs is like poop shy. Like you need to give him a newspaper and some privacy. Like you can't. He doesn't do it like on the leash or right in front of you. Like
it's
he's
adorable.
Yeah.
Cats are the same way.
Cats have to be alone. Yeah. I can never have a dog for the precise reason that they don't poop inside a box like undercover. I drive by other people's dogs and I swerve a little bit. If you ever see me in an accident, it's because some giant great day. Was crapping and I was like, oh God, I looked at it. I can't.
I had a great Dane once.
It's a man dressed like a dog is crapping on the median. That's what a great
Dane
looks
like. They do look embarrassed, don't they? Yeah. Have you ever seen like they get the all four paws on like the size of a dime and they look at you like
on the a dog on the head of a pin, just full of shame. I'm sorry. This is one of the problems with my species.
This
I wish
is
we could
so
change
undignified.
It. Exactly.
Good heavens.
We should get together.
God, you'll get me some privacy.
For God's sake.
Oh, I love your dog.
It's bad enough I have to do it in public with a rope attached to my neck, but could you please avert your eyes?
Little Lord Fauntleroy.
All right.
Awesome.
Stop looking at my empty nut bag.
The shame, the deep and enduring shame.
This is the second story I say for Aisha Tyler about a man with something weird in his pants. Cops say Florida man stuffed lobster tails down his shorts.
Ooh. Nice.
Jim, that seems unwise, isn't it?
Well, if it's just the tails, you're probably fine.
Yeah. No, they're live. No, they're
live. Lobsters.
Yes.
Wow.
If it's just the tail, they're not live.
No, I understand. Yeah,
he stuck the tail part down, leaving the claws free to nip at his bits and pieces.
Yeah. And there will be bits and pieces once he's done.
Yeah. You know, it's the unending wellspring, the font of human, like, idiocy. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, every day you just think, there's some simple stuff. Maybe no live animals down your pants. But was there a guy, like, recently who had, like, 18 monkeys in his shirt? Do you know what I mean? Yeah. One monkey, maybe. One monkey you can explain away. Yeah, I got
besides
a crazy growth.
Jim hates it when I do stories about hilarious penis accidents. No, so then it causes him to do...
And
then
hilarious female genital injuries.
Because
stories.
Women don't stick it's things down their pants.
Jim has often hoped for a show called America's Funniest Vaginal Mishaps.
Oh, that's a 13-second show. A lady tried to masturbate with a carrot. All right, moving on to new news. That's never. We don't do that. It's delicate. You know, we're gentle with it. We treat it nicely.
With an Acme firecracker. Right. That'd be a story.
Never. Yeah. You're just not going to find it.
We're not going to do a show like Puppetry of the Penis.
No.
It's not going to be. Look what I can do with mine,
Alicia. Right, exactly. Never. No,
you can't see it.
Look how tiny I can make it. Look how tiny and delicate.
You can't see it, but I'm doing amazing things in there.
Exactly. Look. I just made a Mobius strip. Or Mebius. Don't call in and correct my pronunciation.
Look, Aisha, I'm making it like those orange curtains in the telephone coverage commercial.
Mine's an Escher painting. Let's go to lunch.
I saw this in Thailand once. Watch.
We don't do that. It's delicate and we respect it. You know, guys don't respect the joint enough. I think you just abuse it and you beat up on it. You treat it like your neighbor's dog. You know, like what was that? Remember the guy who was working in a machine shop and he dropped his junk into it like a sanding belt. Do you remember that guy?
Why would you do that?
We wouldn't go anywhere. I don't even look at sanding belts. Just the fear of like some kind of terrible somatic injury would happen just by looking at a sanding belt.
Hey, that looks fun.
The left side is suddenly a little irritated, though. He dropped it on a sanding belt and talk about an empty nutsack. He lost one of his, it like shot across the room.
Oh.
You ever heard this story?
I have not.
I love that people tune in for incisive political commentary and he's just talking about this guy's testicular
accident. The colored balls of Chuck E. Cheese or something.
Yes. Just like that. And then he put it back and he stapled it shut.
No! Oh.
See, again, women would not do this to their stuff.
I'm guessing alcohol was involved.
This is why boys can't have nice things. Just established why boys can never have nice things because they drop their nuts on a sanding belt.
This first segment has been from poo to nuts. I thought we couldn't get any farther in the gutter, we're only starting.
Well, what would happen if I stuck it in the garbage disposal?
Then you would try it. He wouldn't draw out a plan first. Let's do some math on this and see how. No, let's just try it and see what happens.
No, you're
real
right,
world
boys,
experience.
I remember my brother once when he was a little kid. He thought he stuck his hand in the egg beater because he thought it looked like it would tickle,
right.
And it didn't.
No. We love you, boys. We love you so much.
That's trial and error. That's the history of human endeavors.
There would be no. It would be a bomb if a young man had never stuck his nuts into some kind of moving part machine.
That's going to be in a T-shirt later. 17 minutes after the hour. That's what happens on Tuesdays with Tyler, ladies and gentlemen. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
You'll cheer, you'll cry, you might even get a cheap laugh or two.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Aisha Tyler is a bad influence on the kids
really
in the live
am.
Blog. Now they're speculating. What did someone ask in the live blog? I wonder how far I can get this wood screw up my urethra. It's just...
And someone has tried that.
And we all agreed that was not a hypothetical, that had probably been tried multiple times in multiple places around the world. If I spoke other languages, I would say it. Like if I just spoke Malay. Somewhere in Malaysia, someone's got a wood screw. And
well, you were explaining. What's the website? The bong for the what? The guys drew in what?
Oh, okay. Can I say that word on the air?
Which one?
F-bong?
I guess you can. Well, you just did.
Well, I was just saying
we'll fix that in post.
When we go to cut this together, when you go on YouTube, you see these videos of all these people like abusing themselves in the most like just ridiculous and outsized ways, and you never see it. You're not going to see a girl lay down in a bathtub on a pile of towels while all her buddies cackling like monkeys try to pour a beer up her ass. It's just never. We don't do those things. I'm not saying we're not stupid or we don't do stupid stuff. It's just we don't do that stupid stuff.
I bet it has happened, but they were so ashamed that they didn't want to tell anybody.
Right. Or all the guys were ashamed because she asked beer ass-bonged more beer than all the guys. Right. She ass-bonged them all into the table.
I've been jackass.
The worst we get is, let's get drunk and pierce each other's ears when we're like 14.
Let's get drunk and sleep with the same guy who keeps blowing us off over and over again and hope that this time it's going to be different. That's what we do. Let's sleep with this guy who's emotionally remote and doesn't know anything about sex and is going to twist my nipples like it's a radio station. And then pray this time he falls in love. Let's see if it happens this time. That's what we do. That's different. Yeah. Stephanie needs a moment alone.
I just caught a visual.
Too close to home.
Three more twists to the left for NPR.
You know those small independent radio stations, they have a really low frequency.
Hey, do you get
Stephanie Miller
on there?
On the left one. On the left one. Just turn the left one. Yes, you'll get there eventually.
I can't get past the old news station.
So, yeah, and if you listen to any right-wing station, you'll get Michelle Obama going to Spain.
Oh.
Who she thinks she is.
I was so irritated by that. I mean, the thing that was so amazing to me is she paid her own way. None of her friends flew on Air Force One with her.
Yes.
She literally paid for everything, and the only difference was
all
first ladies fly on Air Force One.
Yes.
And all first ladies generally need a little bit of security. I need security to go to the Grove. So I think that maybe the first lady might need a couple of guys to walk with her around, Madrid or wherever she was.
Yeah.
And the fact that was like an outrage, I mean, it makes me nuts. And you just know they're thinking, black people, they don't like Europe. Why don't you go to Detroit or something? There's malls in Detroit. She could have shopped in Detroit. You know, it's like, come on. She's the FLOTUS. You know what I mean?
We apologize to our listeners in Detroit. Where?
Yes, all seven of you. Oh, God, it just got worse. Hello. Feel free to send your angry mail to StephanieMillerShow.com.
Now I'm changing my vacation from Madrid to Detroit because of you.
Sorry.
All right. Here's Rush Limbaugh on that, by the way.
Why is there no outrage over Michelle Maybell Obama with all these expenditures? 60 Secret Service people, by the way.
Oh, Lord.
On this trip to Spain. The answer is patently obvious.
Huh?
And as far as the media is concerned, Mrs. Obama deserves this. Look at our slave past. Look at our
discriminatory
past. It's only fair that people of color get their taste.
That's what it is.
Of the wealth of America, too. That's your answer.
Payback for slavery. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Michelle Obama single-handedly, I'm going to take out slavery on the ass of America by going to Spain. That'll make up for 400 years of oppression.
Look at me eating capas.
Yes,
huh?
Look at my tiny figurines. Look at this figurine. Don't we all feel better now, black people and brown people and white people who actually feel things inside? Everybody? Come on.
Hola, I'm taking my own reparations.
Hola, I got your phone in the acres and you don't get right here. I mean, come on. Olay, ha. It's just so
40
stupid.
Acres of mule and sangria.
Oh, all right. God. I really, sometimes, don't you fantasize about meeting people? Like, have you met Rush Limbaugh?
No, I have not had them.
No, so like, what's your internal, because...
He just says irritating things about me that I don't understand. So I'm meeting him in person would only
on the Stephanie Miller radio show in suburban America.
What does that mean?
This morning.
I don't know.
You're on in malls, apparently.
And then the other thing.
It means there's a Jamba Juice somewhere nearby.
Yeah.
And this, that he thinks I know what it means, and I don't know what it means.
Stephanie Miller is, who is a babe, by the way, I must point.
That's real. That's right. But wait,
there's more. Then
Stephanie Miller, who is a babe on some days. She knows what I mean.
No, unless she doesn't.
Meaning, what does that mean?
I know what he means, though. I don't.
But I don't know what that means either. Some days I'm a babe, and then some days I'm a man. What does that mean? I don't understand what that means. I mean, I know the feeling, but I don't understand
I'm not
what
sure
it means.
Which is worse, if he actually believes all the crap he says, or if it's just an act?
Well, I actually felt that way about Ann Coulter. She says the most outrageous things, and I think sometimes she says them because she knows they're going to get...
Yeah, of course.
Which I find... I don't know. I can't decide either because I think, okay, it's theater, so maybe there's some kind of sophistication involved. Right.
Oh, no, I knew her years ago. I've said this many times on the air. She, at some point, went, I have to say crazier to sell books.
Yeah, get on TV more. I'm not going to. Yeah. But then now she's being out crazy by Michelle Malkin, who, by the way, I would kick right in the nuts if I met her. So, Michelle, don't let me catch you at the Beverly Center, because right in the nutsack is where my foot's going.
Well,
we're a cuff, lady.
Unless they get rid of the 14th Amendment, and then all the anchor babies are gone, so you'll have to go somewhere else.
Throttle.
29 minutes.
By the way, Rush Limbaugh, I'm kicking him in his vagina.
Right back on Tuesdays with Tyler.
sure like S&M magazines. S&M is my abbreviation for
Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, baby. It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
What are the politics of dancing, anyway?
I don't
know. Oh, that one period of irony in pop music. But it's over. What's the safety dance? We don't know. It was a confusing time
it's
for all of us.
It's something to do with dwarves. I don't.
Aisha Tyler is here with us live in studio. It's Tuesdays with Tyler.
I'm so happy to be here.
Me too.
I'm going to prepare more next week. I'm going to bring in some index cards. That's my plan. My plan for next week is I've got index cards and a pie chart.
This is the poo section and this is the
scrotum.
Genital, the scrotum section.
40% scrotum.
Hello, Art.
Hello, Art.
Art in Chicago.
It's Stinky.
Hey, how are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Her Highness took a nice trip, didn't she?
Oh, Michelle Obama, Her Highness.
I hate to say this, but you liberals are very hypocritical, aren't you?
Are we?
When Nancy Reagan bought silverware and new glasses for the White House, you guys had a conniption.
Uh-huh.
Ah-ha. She spent money. And I'm not a cracker. Tell your buddy on the side of you that, hey, you know what? Yeah, I'm not a cracker. I'm an intelligent person.
Who's used that word?
But you don't remember that, do you?
Who's used that word?
Bye, cracky. Tell that sidekick over there.
Who used the word cracker? I use that word, but only when I'm having sex with my Caucasian husband. Never as an insult. Only as sexy pillow talk.
Call me a cracker.
Who's my cracker?
Never as an insult.
Give me
only
a piece of that cracker ass.
Bring me off a piece of that cracker, baby. Bring me off the saltine. Never as an insult. Never. I would never. Come on now. I love the white people. I sleep with one every day.
By the way, could his voice have been more irritating?
I loved him. He was a character. Literally, that's like a 23-year-old stand-up comedian. Listen, you crazy. Like, who talks like that? Like, if you were going to make fun of a crazy old conservative guy, you would make that voice up, and that was a real person.
Listen, Missy.
You young clowns, you hippies with your grass, with your lids of grass, and your crazy sex and your condoms and your voting.
Yeah, Mike, shooting up the grass.
Mike in Madison on Vaginal Mishaps. Hello, Mike.
Well, I've been laughing so hard I almost forgot what I was calling about.
Yes.
I had my father-in-law, who's a retired physician, internal medicine. Throughout his years working in and out of different emergency rooms, had an instance where there was a woman brought in with a wine bottle.
Uh-huh.
Oh no.
Ooh.
Listen, that's why I switched to the box, so to speak.
The vacuum created was so strong that they couldn't remove it without cracking the bottom of the bottle to relieve the suction.
Oh, Lord.
And then remove the bottle.
Talk about box wine.
Oh, God. Okay, well, first of all, I am one of those mature progressives who can admit when they are wrong.
Yes.
But I don't think that a wine bottle would have been my choice,
No.
A little narrow.
Glass. Fatty Arbuckle in a lot of trouble.
Right,
apparently.
Exactly.
Okay.
Fatty Arbuckle.
All right. Comedian extraordinaire, Aisha Tyler, you have to get your take on this Al. I know it happened last week, but Jim, how much did you love Al Franken making faces behind Mitch McConnell's?
Oh, I didn't see this, so please.
I haven't
seen
it. I heard
great.
Him rolling his eyes.
I love him.
You would have been
so
doing
much.
Worse than that, Jim. You'd have been the turtle, turtle impression.
From my back.
Come on, give me some letters.
Don't you feel that way though all the time? Like you just like sometimes people are saying things and everyone else is maintaining a straight face, and you're like, does no one see how stupid this is?
I know.
Can't someone just be like in the background? Like so many, just make a nice mouth fart. Just appropriate social commentary.
Listen, Al was a radio host that made it to the Senate. If I make it to the Senate, I'm taking my box and I'm going to have sound effects. Oh, sorry, sorry, Mitch. My bad.
Just bring like a clown medley.
I love that one. The Bush tax cuts are free. I love that. Wow. I love the Julie sent the story from they saw it reported on Fox, or it was the biggest story in the world that Al Franken made faces behind Mitch McConnell, and he said those tools really hold your profession in particular contempt. They say comedian like Seinfeld says Newman.
Newman. Oh, Newman.
Speak up, McCann.
You lie!
What a douche.
All right. Celebrity stack. Justin Timberlake thinks a woman's body odor is sexy. He likes the stank.
If he wasn't at the top of my list, he shot right up there. Hello, Justin.
He has previously romanced Cameron Diaz and Britney Spears, who I think probably smells like, I don't know, Cheetos and...
and despair. What's that you're wearing? I give up.
And the Fulton Fish Market, I'm just guessing. I don't know. I'm just a guess that she
poor
does.
Britney.
I don't need.
You know, she probably smells so, like, it's like, the, you know, the smell of like a third grade, like Play-Doh. You know what
yes,
I mean? Like,
yeah.
We're just like Play-Doh in simplicity. Like,
yes.
I can't figure out how to make the door open. I'm just so confused all the time.
He tells Cosmo, some people say BO can be an aphrodisiac, and I agree. It depends on the body the odor is coming from. It's a long-term intimate thing. You don't want to be the first thing you smell when she comes into the room. It's about layers. Layers meant to be discovered.
You know, I love Justin, but I don't feel like I wanted to know all that about him.
Yeah.
I know, Stan. All my pictures.
His thoughts on personal freshness. I don't.
My head pictures are all jacked up now. Because you have, like, I have a set. You know, you have, like, your go-to set, like, your little, you know, in your head, you got the little index cards of, like, what you're going to work it out to. And now, now every time I think about Justin, I got to think about him thinking about the layers on Britney Spears.
Cosmo is that they demand those kind of details. That's the kind of magazine. I'll never forget my favorite story ever in Cosmo. How to exercise your love muscles to control your man.
I'm going to get on top of it, and I'm going to squeeze you until you take out the trash.
Do the laundry or I'll snap it off.
I've got, hey, now talk about a belt sander. I made my own rim shot.
I got that.
Just
you
to beat you, to beat you to it, because I thought, you know, I'll humiliate myself before I'll allow you to humiliate me.
All right, D-listed writing of Mia Farrow is one brave bitch for taking on Naomi Campbell.
Wear a helmet.
Mia, you got to hear the story. It's at the Hague trial.
This is fantastic.
Yes. Mia Farrow has probably licked on Woody Allen's crotch worm with all the lights on, so obviously she's been through some scary in her life, but nothing can compare her for Naomi Campbell. The wrath she's going to bring upon her when she finds out about this. Naomi answered questions at the war crimes trial of Charles Taylor, and she had said she didn't know that the dirty-looking stones...
Yeah, she called them pebbles. A man shows up in the middle of the night and hands you a velvet bag full of pebbles. Sure, use these to align your chakras. That's what happened, lady.
They're runes.
Right, yeah. Exactly. Toss them and learn your future. You're going to be in The Hague in 20 years, lying through your teeth.
So Naomi said she didn't learn they were from Charles Taylor until she had breakfast with Mia Farrow. Mia Farrow testified at The Hague and said Naomi is the one who told her the diamonds came from. Oh, dear.
And she didn't call them a pebble, right?
Naomi.
She didn't call them pebbles to Mia. She said, this dude brought me a big-ass diamond. God damn! That's my Naomi Campbell impression. Clearly, I'm not an impressionist. This man bought me a big-ass diamond in the middle of the night. What's up with that?
Naomi Campbell for the hour.
Mia,
the other one.
D-listed writing, Mia better crawl into a bathtub full of holy water, because when you call out Naomi Campbell, you call out the devil.
Thank God that rotary phones are generally obsolete.
That's what
taking it in the face with a nine dialer.
That's what D-listed says. On another note, do you think Naomi Campbell wishes she were famous in the early 80s rather than now? I mean, blackberries are getting lighter and smaller.
Exactly.
This has to be a problem for her evil ass.
I just got hit in the face with a Palm Pre. I felt nothing.
Did you just hit me with something?
I bet Naomi is sending her assistant out right now. Go to every vintage store you can find and buy me a box of vintage phones. Just go to
find me some
imagine,
phones.
Imagine the damage she could do with one of those first, one of the first cell
phones.
Oh,
the old ones? The suitcases.
World War II walkie-talkies.
If you go back and you look at the first Lethal Weapon, because you want to remember Mel Gibson before he was a total jackhole, you'll see that they pull one of those giant phones out. It's like a loaf of bread.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm going
to
pick
up... Hold on, Wonder Bread to your ear. Hello?
I'm speaking to this ham. Hello. Melton 4273, are you there?
Aisha Tyler, I don't Richmond know if you've ever been a supermodel, but you look like one, so I will
do
this
so
story
kind.
For you. Kate Moss plans to launch her own line of jam. She looks like what the aficionado of sweets, doesn't she?
She really does.
She ate a Tic Tac once in the 1980s.
There'll be like a blend of flavors. Currant and
blackberry
cocaine.
Blackberry and cocaine, yeah, right.
Exactly. Apricot OxyContin, my favorite. Spread that on a piece of toast and you feel nothing.
This is like a story about what bored supermodels do, I guess,
jam.
when they're not supermodels.
Just like she's sitting around smoking. She hasn't eaten in a week. I think we should do something with jams. Should we make sense of it? Normal people who eat and things seem to like jams. They seem to enjoy the jams.
Can you make normal
people that actually eat things seem
people eat food like jams, and then I'll be on the cover, and I'll be naked, and then people will go, oh, look, it's a...
I'm saying, look, I want to see her spleen.
I love this. A special owl.
I love this.
Jam.
A source said, Kate bought a load of expensive equipment because she's always been keen on the idea of making jam.
I'm going to do some cooking. What do the people do when they... What do people do when they're not doing blow and having sex with really dirty rock and rollers? They make jam.
Kate Moss's recipes. What
does
that
consist
of? Maybe
she can sleep with a guy who looks like more of a hobo. Honestly. They have sex and then she gives him a quarter. Go get yourself a cup of coffee. And maybe a hand towel for your jobby job. He's so disgusting looking. Dude, even in high school, and in high school, man, my standards were low. Even in high school, I would have been like, maybe you could shower and get new teeth and then we could talk later.
All right. One more from D-listed. Rod Stewart's sperm just won't quit.
and ain't that always the case?
D-listed writing, Kimbo and Sean Stewart will soon have a new sibling to train on how to carry on the family name by being a drunk, useless mess whose one skill is how to neatly snort a line of the bad off a toilet seat while holding the stall door.
Ah, train spotting.
Because Rod Stewart has done it again, Rod Stewart announced that his fishes. I've never heard sperm referred to as fishes.
Me neither.
He has announced that his fishes still know how to charm an ovary after all these years.
Oh,
yes, his
Lord.
Fishes have to stop for directions and recharge their segways along the way, but they still get the job done.
Hey.
He and his 39-year-old wife have announced.
Because he's a rich geriatric, so his bleep fishes have a segway. All the poor old bleep fishes have to walk with a walker with the tennis balls on the bottom. But Stewart's good at segways.
I can't compete with that.
Stop humping, please, old guys.
Jim, this is a story for you. Spike Lee is calling a lie a U.S. government report that 75% of the spilled Gulf oil is gone.
Well, yeah, it's not gone. It's mixed with dispersants and sitting in the bottom of the Gulf.
Right, exactly. Yeah. My shrimp tastes like fuel.
Yeah.
I literally have turned into, I was already that person, but now I've totally turned into that person where I have to like, where did this shrimp come from? You know what
How
I mean?
Many miles to the gallon does this shrimp get?
Exactly.
Yeah,
we've got the high octane prawns over here.
We'll see what happens when the hurricane season hits full force. Crops start dying.
I ate
dying.
A plate of oysters and I lit my urine on fire.
Yeah.
46 minutes after the hour.
But I get great mileage.
Back with the remaining moments of Tuesdays with Tyler, which is on fire.
Yes!
On the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's a beautiful miracle of nature.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Won't you take me to Funky
Town? Won't you take me to find Funky Town?
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. In the midst of Tuesdays with Tyler, AishaTyler.com is where you can find out all things Aisha Tyler. And we're wondering if we've started a major chick fight. If Michelle Malkin is going to hear that Aisha Tyler would like to kick her in the nuts.
I'm sure that her web crawling minions will have discovered that statement and passed it on to her in her dark and blackened lair of doom.
We have set, as we call it, the right wing moron alert system off. That happens all the time with me. I make a little joke and then it's newsbusters. Stephanie Miller calls
She's
for the
threatened violence.
Violent liberals on the loose again.
They're going to have a restraining order against me. She threatened to kick Michelle Malkin in her testicles, thus verifying that she actually has testicles. And then that would be a victory for our side, I think.
Oh, thank God. Justin in Los Angeles finally knows what the gay agenda is. No, but we cannot find a copy. Justin.
Well, I do have the gay agenda, but I have a quick comment about the Britney Spears body odor first.
Yes.
I believe the proper scent would be cat food and cigarettes.
Oh, God.
Old cat food.
It's kind of right on the money,
cat
right?
Cat food that's been in the sun.
Yeah, it's like all like, the little crispy edges around
it. Right? The gay agenda, if it's anything like my personal heterosexual male agenda, it's got to be about getting laid. That's
pretty much, buddy.
Yeah.
There you go.
Pretty much.
And done. And Steve. All right. So did you see the... I love this. Did you see that little Fox mishap where Greta Van Susteren was talking about... who was she talking about? Hang on a second. She ran a picture of Shirley Sherrod was used to... She was talking about Maxine Waters.
Right.
Oh, she used a picture of Shirley Sherrod
yes.
and talked about Maxine Waters?
Yes.
Oh, and
you
I
remember
love that.
They ran footage of John Conyers a while back when discussing William Jefferson.
Any black will do, really. Just a representative brownie. Just get a brownie. What brownie do we have? Here we've got a picture of 50 Cent. Let's talk about the president and what
some
reason. I love
Greta Van Such and said it was a doozy of a mistake. Like, no, it wasn't.
No, it wasn't.
It's Fox News.
How does that keep happening?
That's just, get a brownie up
Whoops,
there.
We put a D
brownie.
Behind his name in the latest news.
Naomi Campbell was in Spain, apparently, traveling on the as the floatus. And then she hit somebody there with a phone. Because in Spain, they're still doing the dial 9.
This will come as breaking news to you. Analysis. Tea Party supporters harbor more racial resentment than other conservatives. I love that they thought they had to do an analysis anything other than the pictures of the president with bones or his nose.
Yeah.
Really?
Right, exactly.
In addition to that,
That wasn't enough of a cue for you? Well, we asked them some questions, and then we were able to unearth.
The picture of the watermelons on the White House lawn, that was enough of
the feelings. Yes.
More than twice as likely as the general public to believe the policies of the Obama administration favor blacks over whites, they're half as likely as the general public to believe that white people have a better chance of getting ahead in today's society.
And 3 times as likely to drop their nuts on a sanding belt.
Almost twice as likely as the general public to believe that too much has been made of the problems facing black people.
Oh, good times. Good times.
I believe he has a deep-seated hatred towards white people.
Dude, that's another
including
guy.
Including his mother.
I would like to just throttle. Throttle. Talk about strengthening your vaginal muscles so you can control your man. I'll snap that off with my hand. Not a fucker.
And you have threatened a lot of prominent conservative genitals this morning, Aisha Tyler.
What's happening with me? I need to come in a little later in the day when I haven't been drinking.
But Aisha Tyler was serious about kicking Rush Limbaugh in the vagina.
I really was.
She meant.
I meant that one. Yes.
All right. Carly Fiorino announces that she would vote no on Elena Kagan because she doesn't have enough experience. Like, for instance, the experience Carly Fiorina has running a company into the ground.
Yeah. Into the ground. And then jumping up and down on it like Daffy Duck. Down, down, down. Mine. Die.
That's so yesterday.
She was carried out on her dais.
Condé Nast listed Carly Fiorina as one of the 20 worst American CEOs of all time. But that was...
Oh, come on. Hyperbole.
So yesterday.
So yesterday at 11 o'clock when I was a failure. Today, I've showered and I'm a different woman. I'm a new person. Look at my haircut. I'm totally different.
She has today's hair, for sure. Michael Steele, did you hear this little, that they're going to win? They're going to win big in November.
Get on the bus. 117 cities, get on the bus.
He likes to be black when it's convenient.
Every state, get on the bus. We're going to win in November, and Nancy Pelosi will be in the back of the bus.
Oh, wow. Hey! The angry guy from Michigan had just called should feel vindicated. I am not a cracker, and I will not sit on the back of the bus.
That's just how we roll, baby.
With my box of China.
Yeah, I love when he does that. What was the name of his blog, Jim? What up?
Oh, God. It's like he went on Wikipedia. And what do black people do? Negroisms, Negro colloquialisms for 100, Alex.
Andre.
Andre
in Chicago on gay marriage. Hi, Andre.
Hey, what's happening?
Go ahead. Not much. Go ahead.
Hey, first of all, I just want to point out that being a cracker is not that bad. They are very delicious.
They are. I tell my husband that all the time when we're doing dirty stuff.
I'm going to lick the salt on my cracker tonight.
It's filthy in here. Okay.
All right,
sorry,
go ahead. Go ahead, Andre.
I just want to point out that the separation of church and state doesn't actually exist in any concrete part of American law that's not open to interpretation. I'm not saying that, that's an argument against gay marriage because they still have no case.
Right.
But separation of church and state doesn't actually exist in the United States without interpretation.
Except for the
part in the
Congress
Bill of Rights.
Congress shall enact no law.
That part and the Constitution. Those two parts.
Yeah. Well, I think that argument to me seems pretty simple. It shouldn't have anything to do with religion.
Yeah.
The right to marry or not. Ted Olson says he will persuade the Supreme Court on gay marriage. He said, "Let's see. The other side really produced no evidence at all. This is an overwhelming record that supports the fact that individuals are being hurt and that California has no rational basis for continuing the discrimination. When that gets to the Supreme Court, I think that will be persuasive to all the justices on the Supreme Court.
Ted Olson. I'll say, to bring things down a thousand, that the arguments that are being made against gay marriage are the same arguments that were made against miscegenation. That's the old fashioned, that's the fancy word. That's
of licking the salt off your cracker.
Yes, licking the salt off your cracker. It used to be illegal. I don't know if you know that. And thank God we've come a long way. And licking salt off crackers is entirely legal. And well, I can march down the street with my cracker and no one throws things. I mean, literally, you know, I've been married to this. I've been with St. Vincent since I was 19 years old. We've been married for 16 years.
Yes.
There was a time when people said that was unnatural, that would never last. Marriage is a human right. If you want to screw up your life and have sex with the same person forever, you should be entitled.
Go for it.
Yes, go nuts.
Tuesdays with Tyler was filthy and delightful. Aisha Tyler.
Oh, come visit me and see me tonight at Halloween Improv and this weekend at the Denver Improv. And thank you, Stephanie.
Thank you, baby.
Thank you for having me here.